Hi there, welcome back to a new season of Everyone is Extraordinary called Walking My Way. I'm Ruby, I'm 22 and I live in London. I graduated from Cambridge last year and I have been working in TV production ever since, but I'm taking time off work to go on a pilgrimage. Not just any pilgrimage, the Camino de Santiago. I will be walking 800 kilometers as a female solo traveler, completely untrained, in fact, with a bit of a hip injury. This journey has been a dream of mine since I was 15 when I read The Pilgrimage by Paulo Coelho. I wouldn't say I'm religious, but I do have some sort of relationship with spirituality, which I'm hoping to explore on this trip. I will be documenting my practical experiences, from blisters to budgets to hiking as an untrained London galley for over a month. I'm an ultralight packer, nothing gets me going more than a nifty weight solution. I cannot imagine anything more exciting than sharing my light packing solutions with you, as lame as that sounds. I will also be documenting the spiritual insights that I gain along the way, leaving no page unturned with regards to my personal life. I'm quite the oversharer after all. I will also be documenting the scenery and historical artifacts of this journey. I love religious history and I can't wait to learn loads on the trip about the millions of pilgrims that came before me. Yes, millions. And finally, I will be documenting the connections that I make along the way, interviewing as many fellow pilgrims as possible, because after all, everyone is extraordinary. This way you can hear for yourself what this epic journey is actually like these days for real people. From highs to lows, revelations to blisters, and everything in between, you will hear it all. I have no idea what it's going to be like and I'm totally unprepared, so come along with me as we discover it together in real time. I hope you enjoy. I'm so excited and a little bit nervous for this journey, and I can't wait to experience immense personal growth and to share it all with you. Buen camino! Hello guys, this episode will discuss themes of bad mental health, addiction problems, and even suicide. So if those topics are not the sort of thing you want to be hearing about today, probably skip to the next episode. But yeah, it's a really interesting chat with a lovely, lovely guy about his experiences of the Camino. So yeah, I think if you do fancy it, it will be really insightful. So yeah, enjoy.
So, hello, what's your name?
I'm Olivier. I am the owner of the Supermercado Amari. It's in La Soania. It's 27 kilometers after Roncesvalles. It's a little village. If you sleep in Roncesvalles, it's better you sleep here because less people, then you will sleep far better.
I completely agree. So we walked to Zubiri. Is that, yeah? And decided to go an extra 7 kilometers to get here. And it also means that you've got a little less to walk to get to Pamplona, which is great because then you get more time in Pamplona. But also the vibes here are so much better than in Zubiri. Like, oh my goodness. And there's a lovely hostel opposite and such a good vibe in here. So tell me about this place. What are you doing with it? Tell me about the flags.
Okay, then a special place. You have flag for nearly all the countries. Then the pilgrim are free to write something on the flag. And we have a guitar also. If you want to play music, you can have a lot of fun. And I have kind of general store, and I make also food for the pilgrim. Our specialty is yummy chicken with salad, drink included. It could be a bottle of wine. For this year, it's €13, then first plate, second plate, dessert. We make also vegan plate if you want, we adapt. And yes, it's been 4 years that I have this business. I'm very happy.
And so I think you mentioned earlier that you had a big life change.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened? You were in Belgium before?
Before I was a teacher. I was teaching philosophy, theology in high school for the children for between 15 and 18.
And yeah. Was that wasn't in Spain, was it?
In Belgium. Belgium. I'm from Belgium. Yeah, I speak French. Je parle français.
And you've done loads of pilgrimages before, haven't you?
Yes, because my first Camino, I was always depressed. I was smoking 2 packets of cigarette. I was drinking 2 bottles of wine. I was walking like, Walking Dead, like this. And then I wasn't feeling great. And I've seen a movie, a French movie called Saint-Jacques Lamech. For the British-American, it's The Way, but Saint-Jacques Lamech was a movie who makes me give me the need, yeah, the feel, the to do the Camino. Then the story, three brother and sister, they don't like each other and they have problems. One is alcoholic, without job, the other works too much, the third is a self entrepreneur,
yeah,
and it takes pills because he's always nervous, and then they do the Camino from Le Puy-en-Velay in France until Santiago, and at the end they became to change, to be more open. In the beginning, the three brothers, they hate themselves, and at the end they became to realize that they are family. They begin to like themselves. Then I say, okay, they have changed their life, I can change my life. Then I will try the Camino to change my life, and it was something amazing. My first Camino was in July 2009. I wasn't prepared at all. No, two bottles of wine, two packets of cigarette. In July, the mountain of Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port is open. Then the Camino, it's 800 kilometers, 500 miles. And then in this time, we didn't have a podcast or YouTube. And then I've seen a book who told me what to take, but it was bullshit. I've got something against the bite of the snake bites. I have a survival blanket.
Oh my goodness.
I bought shoes with iron inside.
Oh my gosh,
I have
too
a bag
much.
Of 50 liters. Yes, a lot, too much. 50 liters. Then I have a lot of weight in my bag. And my first day, I drink three beers before doing the Camino, because they explained me in the accueil de pèlerins Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, there is a mountain, but in my country, in Belgium, we don't have mountains. Then for me, it was little hill. Say, wow, what's he making this, talking about this? So after I have understood, oh God. Then the first day I have learned something, because it was very warm. It was in July, I was teacher. That beer make you thirsty. Then after 3-4 kilometers, I have no more water, and I was totally dyed, because the glimpse is like very like this
deep, yeah,
very deep.
And just for anyone who hasn't done it, the first day is the hardest, and it's the steepest, and you're going over the Pyrenees mountains.
Oh God,
it's
crazy. Then after 5 kilometers, I wanted to go back, but it wasn't possible because too sharp. Then I have to go home. Finally, I met another guy, and he was good man. He has one purpose, is to arrive to Pamplona the 6th of July to run with Bird, because Pamplona is famous for bird running. There is a writer, Hemingway, wrote a book about this. Then he has nothing to tell me, and then I could talk about my problem. Then my first gift of the Camino was talk about my problems with a foreign stranger. That was good. Then, because I was drinking, smoking, but no one in my family knew that. Then this guy had to listen to my story. But it was good for him and for me, because then we didn't have to think about the pain, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you told me earlier was the first lesson of the Camino.
Yes. Then when you have pain, or what is interesting when you have pain, it's like you don't think a lot of your problems, because when you are depressed, you are always thinking the same thing, and it's turning around, and then that makes you depressed. Then when you do the Camino with the pain and also the landscape, you don't have time to think about the past, about the future. You are living the moment. By this guy, by example, we have learned to one gift is to listen carefully to the other, because then we don't have to think about the pain. And the second gift of the Camino is when we have stopped walking, we stop in Alberg Horizon, and we drink a beer, and then we have enjoyed the beer totally, because we didn't walk. That's the second gift, is to enjoy the moment. Better than a book and Eckhart Tolle, you know? It's better to experiment. Then I recommend the Camino. After you can be the better coach than all this coach you see, coach of life, this guy.
Totally.
That's the second gift. And the third gift you can receive for the Camino after your second day when you are in Roncesvalles is the weight of your bag. You open your bag and you look your bag and say, oh my God, it's heavy. Then you begin to take away things. I don't need this, I don't need this, I don't need this. In this time, in Roncesvalles, there were people who have a bestseller, you know, half kilo, a book, big book.
Gigantic books.
Yeah, they give up.
Because on the Camino, you feel every last gram. I mean, I can tell when I've drunken half my water or not, based on how my back is feeling.
Yeah.
You can really tell what is in there.
That's the third lesson. Then you get rid of what you don't really need. And happiness, if you want, less you have in your bag, better is it. And also is your problem. The things you thought that were it was important are not very important. And the third lesson is you don't need too much to be happy. Keep it simple. Simplicity can make you happier. What I can say, the Camino is really a life-changing experiment. After this Camino, I have learned that my biggest problem because of alcohol and this was my family, my roots. I am half Belgian, half Tunisian, and I realized that I didn't like myself. And doing the Camino makes me realize that to understand my problems, but what I have to do to change. Then it was to like myself. Then I quit smoking. I begin to like me. It took me 2 years, but finally, when you are able to like yourself, people can like you.
And was that a difficult process, quitting smoking and sort of going a bit easy on the alcohol?
I mean, that's a good question. I think I have, thanks to the Camino, I could go very deep to understand the roots of the beginning of my smoking, the people with who I smoke, and then I say, okay, one kid himself, the other felt in hard drugs, in cocaine, heroin. Now he's no more in heroin, but he's in weeds and beer. He's my age, but he looks 70 years old, then he's not really going to die. I will say something. It learns me to be more selfish, to take care about myself, and not to do what the people think about what I have to do. Then that's the force of the strength of the Camino. It makes you stronger in your mind, in your heart, and you are no more afraid what the people say, think about you. Because before going on the Camino, it was also difficult because a lot of people around you say that you are crazy to go to the Camino, and I made it. Then I go against what the people want I do.
And you build trust in yourself, which, especially if you're struggling with addiction and mental health problems, trust is completely gone. Like, if you don't love yourself, you don't trust yourself.
Exactly.
And to actually make that decision for yourself to go, and then go and say, I did it.
Exactly.
That's the first step to loving yourself, isn't it?
Yes. There are so much things, but I don't want to resume everything because I wrote a big book about this and...
Where's your book? Is it going to get released?
It's not totally released, but it's written.
That's so exciting. You need to release it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So just remind everyone, where do they come and see your incredible... I don't even know what to call it. It's kind of a place of everything. It's a bar, it's a restaurant, it's a shop.
It's everything.
But it's the heartbeat, it's the pulse of this town. And there's just flags all over in the garden, and people have written all over the flags, and... It's just such an immaculate vibe, and you've got all of your past pilgrim passports and your family's pilgrim passports laid out, and it's got an amazing stamp.
It's a a meeting point where you can meet people and talk about interesting things. There are some places where there is kind of atmosphere where you feel at home and welcoming. That's what I want to. I wanted to create here.
You've absolutely created that.
Oh,
it's amazing.
You.
And I think it works to your favour as well that not absolutely everyone comes here, that some people stay in Zubiri, because then it's slightly smaller and then everyone's so grateful to be here.
Oh yes,
so
of
happy.
Course, yeah, I make 27 kilometres.
Because you think, I'm going to risk it and walk that extra 7 kilometres, and then you actually get here and you're like, oh my God, this is the best decision ever.
Yeah.
It makes it extra special, doesn't it?
That's good. Yeah, what you can do after your next travel, always sleep next to a city, it would be better. But sometimes you will need some clothes, something.
Yeah,
and,
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good way to have good rest. Because if you didn't sleep well, it's difficult to walk after.
That's a very good tip.
But
gosh, you've got all the lessons. You know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. But don't worry, you know, after 15 days your body will be used to walk, and I will use a British expression, will be full of beans.
That's what you called us when we came in. You called us full of beans.
I have books, expression, funny British expression. Yeah,
I love that. Oh, well, thank you so much for speaking to
me. You are welcome.
I'm so grateful to share your
story. It's a pleasure.
Then
come to visit me.
Yes, thank
bye,
you.
Bye.
Hello, it is evening at Lara Soania. We decided today that we would walk to Zubiri and then carry on walking to get a little bit more kilometer, a few more kilometers in today. We weren't really tired by the time we got to Zubiri, which is like the typical stop off. I'm very impressed with how my body is faring, not gonna lie. Last night was super painful in my hip because I've got that hip injury, but today on the walk it didn't feel that much worse than the day before. So I think it's just going to be a pretty constant pain. And I think when I get to Pamplona tomorrow, I might try and see a physician. But if it's like this for the rest of the Camino, I think I should be good. We also walked about 27K today. So that's like more than a half marathon by a fair bit. And yeah, I'm not really finding the walking too bad. My feet really hurt. Not in like a blistery way, although I do have blisters in my toes in the pressure of the feet on the floor. So like when I take steps, it's like, ooh. But I think that's expected. So I'm going to explain the noises. You can probably hear dogs barking. There's a lot of dogs. There's some cars going by, not many. There's the river and there's the birds singing their way to sleep. It's dusk now. I hope you enjoyed that lovely, lovely chat in the bar. We met some more people today. I now have two new Danish besties. I'm so excited. I've been practicing my Danish a lot with Mikkel. It's also been super, super fun practicing my Spanish as well, so I really hope that by the end of this trip my Spanish and Danish will be improved. Washing my clothes every day, having a shower when I get back, switching my shoes, things like that, which all seemed very complicated on the first day, are now lovely just bits of routine that I'm just sort of almost meditating during, not quite, but you know, feeling calm. And I'm so excited about being in a city tomorrow, but the landscape has just been fucking beautiful. The kilometres, it just doesn't even feel like a long time when you're just chatting to people, and it's so gorgeous. Like honestly, it doesn't even feel that long. At the end of the first day of walking yesterday, I was thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to manage to do this for the next 30 days? But now we've stayed in a smaller town and like not where all the other pilgrims are, and it's such a better vibe here than the monastery, even though the monastery was so cool and so amazing and I don't regret it at all. The actual like sleeping situation was not the best, and I didn't realize how much that affected me yesterday until coming to a lovely like smaller hostel. Now after this day, I'm not even thinking, gosh, how am I gonna do 30 days? I'm literally like, I can't fucking wait. Like I'm gonna just take each day as it comes. I'm not seeing it as this massive long hurdle that I need to overcome. I'm seeing it as the joy in the journey. Like I'm literally just living each day presently, and it's exactly like that guy said in the interview. It is literally about the present, not about the past or the future. And it's just such a privilege to live in that. And I'm someone who's normally in life so anxious and so head everywhere. And so to get to not be like that, that is the ultimate relaxation. And it's funny because even once I'm done with the walk and I'm done with all my routine things and the showering and stuff, and then I get into like a cozy position, like I've got a few hours off at the end of the day, then suddenly all the thoughts come rushing back. I'm like, oh my God, what do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? Whatever. Like, actually for me, relaxation is when I'm walking, which is so crazy. Like, so yeah, lots of things. Today has been amazing. We were just playing guitar and singing in his lovely little cafe bar thing just now. It was such good vibes, and it's right opposite the hostel. I just feel so happy and supported here. Immaculate vibes all around. It's so lovely meeting people that I wouldn't necessarily in London in my normal life have ended up talking to, maybe just because there's an age difference or something like that, or like a nationality difference in the sense of like our first language or something else. But it's just so special to connect with those people. So yeah, really, really happy. Excited to see Pamplona tomorrow. Going to be a bit of a break day. We've only got to walk 17 kilometers. I think my hip needs the break anyways, lol. But yeah, I'm very excited to see the city. Good night, guys, for now. See you.